Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for all these beautiful people in your house tonight. As we come together, let's come together in prayer this evening. We have a couple of needs we'd like to bring before you. First, we'd like to remember to pray for Sister Kim Knopp and Sister Terry Seidel. Their father passed away this week, also the grandfather of Eric and Kristen. So pray for the family that God would bring peace and be with them. And then also, bittersweet, Brother Steve Spears passed away this morning. And speaking with Sister Terry today, she said, everything is well. He's at home, but obviously he'll be very missed here on earth. So pray for Sister Terry and their children and the grandchildren that God would be a comfort to them too in this time of saying, see you later to Brother Spears. And then any other needs, you can lift your hand. God knows the needs. We also want to remember, just remembering here, Sister Pam Carpenter has been at UW Hospital. The Christophers here, we're praying for her. She does watch online, and we just want her to know that we are praying with her, that God would be her strength in these next couple weeks as she recovers from this bone marrow transplant, that God would be her strength in this situation. So pray with somebody next to you as we pray for our family in this service tonight, in Jesus' name. Lord, we thank you. We thank you that we can come to you no matter what is happening. No matter where we are, you are there, God. And we are so thankful that you are bigger and that you are greater. And Lord, we pray tonight for our brothers and our sisters who have said goodbye to loved ones, that you would be a comfort, that you would be a peace. Your word says that you are the comforter. And I ask that you would be that in this time, in this season, Jesus, that you would walk alongside them and let your presence be felt as never before, Jesus, that you would just lift up our family here that is hurting and our family across the nation that is hurting with the passing of Brother Spears and the father of Tim and Kim and Terry. Lord, we pray that you would just be with them tonight. We pray, God, that you would touch Sister Carpenter. Lord, we thank you for your hand that has been upon her. We ask that you would continue to minister healing and strength to her body, that you would be with her medical team as she navigates this process, God. And Lord, we pray tonight for every hand that was lifted, Jesus. You know, we don't know what it is, but God, we can commit it into your hands and we can believe and we can trust that you are working all things together for good, Jesus, and that you will minister to every need tonight. Open our hearts and our minds to receive your word. Help us to shed the cares of today and to just step into your presence and say, Lord, have your way. Speak to me, speak to my heart, and have your way tonight. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. We're so glad that you are here. Looking through here, I don't see any visitors. It's all family tonight, but perhaps you're visiting with us online, and we would invite you to take time to click on that bit.ly link on the screen so we can connect with you and get to know you as you watch the service online with us. Part of worshiping God is giving, and we give so that the kingdom can go on. And one of the things that we as a church do very heavily here is support missions work all across the globe. In fact, we support over 90 missionaries on a monthly basis. We have 91 PIMs that we commit to and pay. And one of the newest ones that we have is Alaska Flying Missions, which just sounds very cool. But that's one of our newest PIMs. And so as you give, pray for these missionaries. They need the financial support, but they also need the prayers. Prayers that can go beyond what the dollar can do, in Jesus' name. So if you want to give, you can give. We have a plexiglass box out on the kiosk that you can give in person. You can give online, or you can give through our church center app, or you can mail it into the office, and we will make sure it gets where you want it to go. Thank you for your support. This Friday, 7 p.m. is All Church Prayer. Join us. Come together for corporate prayer. There's something about just coming together and praying together. Strengthens our strengthens our faith, and strengthens the body. Amen? This Saturday will be a celebration of life for the wonderful, amazing Sister Eileen Manley. It's going to be really hard to imagine not having her here, but what a lady. 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. will be her visitation, so the family invites you to come. And then at 1 o'clock, we will have her homegoing celebration service. And then immediately following that, the family invites you to a reception. And in the Eileen Manley way, we'd like to ask you to bring a dessert. And I heard that she specifically asked that there are lemon bars. So whoever makes the lemon bars, Sister Manley's hoping that you'll make them to share with people. Someone's pointing at you, Sister Brunker. Are you it? Okay, you're it. We're counting on you. Sister Hicks, too? There we go. So if you can, come celebrate with the family, remember her, and then bring a dessert to share for the reception following. It's November. The 72 degrees is not giving that away. But soon it will be Thanksgiving time. And with Thanksgiving, typically we have a meal here, and this year we're kind of not really sure. Should we have it? Should we not have it? And so we're trying to gauge the interest of everybody here to see if you would like to get together here at the church for a Thanksgiving meal. If you are interested in doing that, we have sign-up sheets out at the kiosk, and I believe there's one at the reception desk. So if it's something that you're interested in doing and participating in, we would encourage you to sign up so that we can kind of see how much interest there is, and then we're going to determine whether or not we're going to have that. But you need to sign up by next Wednesday. So if you're interested, please do sign up, and then we'll go from there. All right, please stand as we go into worship.
And my heart sees my soul.
Outside and just look around and just totally amazed. I love the sunrises and I love the sunsets and I love everything in between. God bless you. You can be seated this evening. As you notice, Sunday morning and then also this evening, we kind of started out our service a little bit different. Some of you might have wondering what's happening here, but we opted to make a little bit of a change. And the reason being so is we start off with worship. Everyone comes to the front. And then at the end of that worship song, everybody kind of goes and sits back down. And we just felt that it would be a little bit more productive in our worship service, not to split it and like that. Now, one of the reasons also was, if you remember pre-COVID, we had offerings. How many of you remember back when we took offerings? Okay, and Sunday mornings, if we took an offering up at 10:15, there'd be like six people here. And as the morning progresses, more people would come in. So Bishop used to say, we'd take the offering up a little bit later. So that's why we kind of, but now we don't do the offering. That's all of that's pretty much online giving and such, and we've all caught up into that, which is fine. So we just made that little bit of a change. So service will start right away with a countdown video. We'll start off with prayer and then announcements, and then we'll go right into our worship. So hopefully that helps you out a little bit. So if you show up on Sunday and service is half over with, or we're well, the way into the service, it's just because we made a little bit of a change there. So anyway, we've been talking in our series. Oh, also Sunday, we had Holy Ghost Sunday. I'm excited. We had eight people get the Holy Ghost Sunday. So excited about that. And one was baptized. And we also had a new member born into our congregation when this actually, I believe it was early this morning or late last night, one or the other, but it was Philip and Brittany Stackhouse had a baby girl, and their baby girl is not yet named. So they will get a name, and they will send that forward to us, and we'll let you all know. So excited about that. Seven things we've been talking about to overcome for godly, victorious living. And we've been kind of following along a little bit of a, if I could say, October theme. I mean, I know we're not big Halloween people around here, and maybe you take your kids trick-or-treating or trunk-or-treating. It doesn't matter to me one way or the other. I don't feel that by any means if you take your kids trick-or-treating that you're going to hell, as long as you turn in 10% of the candy for tithing to the pastor and preferably the Snicker bars, but nevertheless, I'm just joking. So we've been talking about seven things to overcome for godly victorious living. We talked about covering ghosts from our past. And talking about something in our past, whether it's sin or otherwise, which you feel perhaps is real, whether it's visible to you or visible to those around you. We talked about the 800-pound gorilla in the room and talked about big problems, overcoming big problems. And we talked about gremlins, the problem from our past, those little struggles and little issues that are always... It's kind of like that itch that you get in the middle of your back that you can't quite get to. It's kind of like one of those little gremlins. It's just one of those little problems that you just, sometimes it just kind of builds. And we talked about goblins. And so we're going to move forward tonight. And the next problem that we're going to cover to overcome for godly victorious living is really something that is more of a Christmas than it is a Halloween, but nevertheless, we see it year-round every day. We work with these type of a people. Maybe we are one of these type of a peoples, but we're going to talk about the Grinch. The Grinch. And the Grinch are those who want you to be happy and succeed just as long as it's not more than they do. Do you know or have you ever known a person in your life that was totally acceptable with you being at their level, but as soon as you got that promotion at work or as soon as you drove up in the new car or as soon as you had your breakthrough and now all of a sudden instead of it's okay to keep up with the Joneses but now you're outdoing the Joneses, your camper is bigger than their camper and your boat is bigger than their boat and better than their boat and they're not happy with you. You ever work or know, maybe there's a Grinch in your family. Maybe you're sitting next to a Grinch tonight. I don't know, perhaps, but a Grinch is a person or a thing that spoils or dampens the pleasure of others. Every year in December, at least one or more of the television networks show the movie How the Grinch Stole Christmas. A few years back, we had the Grinch here at Sunday school here on the platform, and this may surprise you, but there are Grinches that are alive today, and they're not green and ugly and created by Dr. Seuss or created by Hollywood, but the Grinches I'm talking about work at the same place you do and perhaps even attend the same church that you do and perhaps even rode to church with you. I don't really know exactly, but what types of people fit into this category of Grinches? Really, there's one major category that fits into this, and it would be what we would call jealous people. Jealous people. Jealousy, it amazes me at times how crazy some people can get over jealousy. It just boggles my mind at the root of a lot of relational problems. Isn't necessarily has very little to do with personalities, but it has a lot to do with what those personalities possess. Did you catch that? It's most people want you to succeed in life as long as you're not succeeding more than they are. And too many Christians, catch this now, too many Christians have allowed other people to plant things in their subconscious response mechanism. Are you going to say, what in the world is a subconscious response mechanism? That's a fancy name for your brain. That's where we store all of our thoughts and our subconscious, that while we're sitting here and you're listening to me talking or speaking here, your subconscious is going over and over and over again, and you are categorizing people that you know fit into that category. That's your subconscious response mechanism. And we let people plant things into our brains, which in turn causes us to either condemn or reject against people who have succeeded. We don't like people. We've already made up our minds about certain, we may never even have met the person. Have you, maybe I shouldn't say raise your hands, but have you ever met someone that you had never met? You had never met them, but you knew all about them based upon what somebody else had said. And when you meet them, all of a sudden it's like, whoa, they're not anything like I thought they would be. Boy, Carl Rabine sure had a, I'm just picking on Carl. He's bigger than I am, but I think I can outrun him. And so we allow other people, their thoughts. We may not know anybody. But you don't, did you know that God's word covers this? We read in Proverbs. I've suggested strongly throughout this year that we read every day. You can read a chapter of Proverbs, and it covers you for the whole month. So Proverbs chapter 17, verse 5 in the New Living Translation, it says, those who mock the poor insult their maker, and those who rejoice at the misfortune of others will be punished. In my experience, I find people who are spiritually grounded are always blessed and motivated by the successful testimony of others. It does my heart good when I go out to lunch with some of our young men and such in our congregation. I had lunch today with two young men in our congregation, and God is blessing their work, blessing their business, blessing their hands, and it does me good to sit back and listen to the stories and listen to them as they talk about how God is blessing and what God is doing in their lives, because number one, we live principled lives. You want to receive blessings from God, then you have to live a life that is qualifies for that. We have to understand that one of the greatest challenges that we have in life is when a friend, a brother, or a sister gets some kind of a miracle blessing, mind-boggling perhaps, and we watch it all happen, but we must keep the right attitude. Nothing would make me happier than to hear Josh Stone come in and say, guess what, Pastor? You would not believe the financial miracle that God just worked out in my family. I would just be ecstatic. And the same would be for anyone in here. I just love it when God blesses. When I hear people that are struggling in their finances with job, they've lost a job, and God blesses them with a job, but gives them a 17% pay raise. That's what I like to hear. What does that tell me? It tells me that God is a God that believes in his own principles. What does Romans 12:15 in the Amplified tell us? It says, rejoice with those who rejoice, sharing others' joy, and weep with those who weep, sharing others' grief. When we get as excited about somebody else's success as we do with our own success, I just want to tell you, get ready, because God probably has something coming down the pike for you. Next thing that we have to overcome for godly victorious living is what I'm just going to call a goon. You ever call somebody a goon? I remember in kids, we go, what a goon. I don't, I look back and I'm like, okay, technically, what is a goon? Well, goon are people who always look for the and expect the worst things instead of the best. You know those people? As my dad say, they would make a good cover for the Book of Lamentations. Whatever you expect is what you will manifest in your life. If you expect negative things or bad things to happen to you, you know what? There's a good chance that that's exactly what's going to happen. As a man thinketh. There's so much in this that we just sometimes we just read it and it's kind of in one ear, out the other. We don't really take that and we don't really file it away in our subconscious response mechanism. But nevertheless, in our brains, nevertheless, we just let it come in and we let it go out. But whatever, whatsoever a man thinketh, so is he. So when we look, if you expect bad news, if you live with the worst case scenario mentality, that's probably exactly what you're going to get. Now, I just want to encourage you that if you are in that particular spot in your life tonight, you need to just stand up in front of the mirror. When you get home, stomp your foot real hard on the floor and say, enough is enough. You need to say, you know what? If you expect nothing, don't be surprised because you'll probably get it. If anybody in the world should have reasons to be optimistic about the future, it should be someone who's born again, someone who is blood washed in the name of blood of Jesus Christ, someone who's been filled with the baptism of the Holy Spirit, someone who has the ability and can talk in tongues every day, as much or little as they want. And we have a Bible that we can quote and that we can take it and we can commit it to memory. But if you're going through stuff at the moment, just remember one thing. Going through is different than being stuck in. So if you're going through a lot of stuff right now, just understand you're going through it. You're not stuck in it. God is not sitting in heaven. I think sometimes we think that God just sits up there and he's just kind of looks down. God's not sitting in heaven wringing his hands over what in the world am I going to do next. I didn't see this coming. I'm totally just caught me off guard. No, God doesn't work that way. And that's not how he works in our lives. He fully expects that you and I use the power of his word to help us to overcome. That's why he gave it to us. That's why we have it. That's why he put it in words. And that's why we have it sitting at our fingertips. Most of us, we carry it around with us every day in an electronic device. It's right there. We need to use it. Deuteronomy 8:2 tells us, remember how the Lord your God led you all the way in the wilderness for 40 years to humble and test you in order to know what was in your heart, whether or not you would keep his commands. This scripture, when I read this, this is the first thing after I read that scripture. The very first thing that popped into my head was just a thought here. I wonder if God used this whole COVID mess just to check us to see what was in our hearts. Look around you. You see people that, this is not a cut to everyone that's not here tonight. People, there are reasons why people are sick and all this and that, and I understand. But let me ask you a question. When trouble comes to visit your home, think about this. When trouble comes to visit your home, what is your very first response? You get ticked off and get mad and cop an attitude and say, well, okay, if this is how God's going to treat us as a family after we've been faithful, do you pull closer to him in a crisis, or do you seek out other avenues to escape? I'm going to stay home tonight. I want to watch basketball or I want to watch football. I haven't watched a football game all season. Pastor Peter, I'm staying home tonight watching football. Well, good for you. Stay home and watch football. There's power in his word. And it's not that hard to find. We read 2 Samuel in the Message. It says, but me he caught, reached all the way from sky to sea. He pulled me out of that ocean of hate, that enemy of chaos, the void in which I was drowning. They hit me when I was down, but God stuck by me. He stood me up on a wide open field. I stood there saved, surprised, and loved. Have you ever felt down, like you've been hit when you were already down? Have you ever hit rock bottom only to find out that there was just more to that rock bottom? I heard one guy say I had to look up to see the edge of a piece of newspaper. Behind on your mortgage payments, maybe your vehicle's broken down and you don't have the money to fix it, and layoffs and sicknesses. They would need to be encouraged by the word that God in heaven and earth will stick by us. I used to think that every time I did something stupid or wrong, that the Holy Ghost just jumped in and out of me. You know, I don't know where I got that thought, but it's like, oh, I was bad today. I did something wrong. I said something I should have said. The Holy Ghost left me. Now I got to go get it again. But that's not how God works. That's not how the Holy Ghost works. Okay? Just because you have a bad day doesn't mean the Holy Ghost just says, whoops, we're out of here. Got to pray again on Sunday. Hope we're around. Don't expect too much. You've had a bad week. That's not how God works. You can over and over and over and over again. I want this Job. Job chapter 5, verses 8. Job says, if I were in your shoes, I'd go straight to God. I'd throw myself on the mercy of God. After all, he's famous for great and unexpected acts. There's no end to his surprises. He gives rain, for instance, across the wide earth. He sends water to irrigate the fields. He rises up and down and out, gives firm footing to those sinking in grief. Now, Job is saying this in the middle of probably one of the worst crises of any human that I ever have heard or know about is going through. But what does he say? He goes on to say he aborts the schemes of conniving crooks so that none of their plots come to term. He catches the know-it-alls in their conspiracies, all that intricate intrigue swept out with the trash. Suddenly they're disoriented, plunged into darkness. They can't see to put one foot in front of the other. But the downtrodden are saved by God. Saved from the murderous plot, saved from the iron fist. And so the poor continue to hope while injustice is bound and gagged. Now we read this passage. That's a pretty potent passage of scripture that Job puts out there. And Job, in this, Job, as I said, Job went to hell and back to bring us, Pastor Peter, these principles in which to follow. God allowed this man to go through all of this as an example to us thousands of years later. And he shares this in his book. And in this little short passage of scriptures, he gives us seven very critical, important little sub-principles, little nuggets to live by. So many Christians, a lot of times we don't even bother to seek this out, but Job, in one passage of scripture, there's a treasure trove of godly counsel. I guess we could look at first thing Job says, basically, when all hell breaks loose in your life, what do? You go straight to God. You don't need anything else. Brother Bronker, if things go to pieces, you go to God. Don't complain and don't bellyache. Sometimes we complain and bellyache about all kinds of stuff. We just need to ask God for mercy. God, Lord, I need your mercy and I need your grace. Expect him to supply every need. A lot of times we go to him as a last resort. Don't we, Brother Millen? After we've exhausted everything that we can do, we finally go to God. God's like, well, why weren't you here in the first? Why am I always your last choice and not your first choice? Why do I always have to be last? You ever wonder why God? Remember, he does not tolerate. This is just a little bit of advice here. He doesn't tolerate financial foolishness and cheaters. Sister Vicky. it's just stuck in my head. Faker. He doesn't tolerate financial foolishness and fakers. Remember, he's a God of principle. And God will, hear me, God will allow you as his child to reap what you sow. He's not going to remove principles simply because you make a dumb choice. And a lot of times we struggle with this. It's one of those things we sometimes just have to overcome. And no God will save you when all seems lost. Boy, Job, he was kind of at the end of his rope, wasn't he? But what did God do? God stepped in and God blessed him double, gave him double the blessing that he had before. Now, he had a lot before. Read the book of Job and just find out what all the man owned. He was like Bill Gates on steroids. And God says, you know what? I'm going to give you back. Imagine going from nothing. I don't know how God did it, but God just did it. And if God can do it for Job, he can do it for you. He can do it for me. And expect. I think this is part of our problem sometimes. We don't expect God when we're down and we're rock bottom and things are falling apart and we can't figure out how to put it all back together. We don't expect God to surprise us with his goodness. But we'll never comprehend all the great things he does. His miracle surprises can't be counted. That's what we read four chapters later in Job chapter 9:1. After Job has gone through all of this mess, he says, you'll never comprehend all the great things that God has done. His miracles, you just can't count them. It's too many to count. And moving on to our last point here. Well, this last point doesn't really have a lot to do with Halloween, ghosts, goblins, or goons. But it has a lot to do with what I would just call superstition. So, in 1993, I don't do this very often. I don't make reference to movies very often, unless it's some historical count. But in 1993, there was a movie called Groundhog Day. Some of you are chuckling because you've seen Groundhog Day. Bill Murray starred in it. Bill Murray's an arrogant television reporter. And he thinks he's got to go cover this Pexitani Phil, which, of course, here if we're in the Sun Prairie or around Sun Prairie, it's Sun Prairie Groundhog. What's the Sun Prairie's groundhog's name? Jimmy the Groundhog. So this is Pexitani Phil, and it was the name of the groundhog, and it's whether or not this groundhog is going to see a shadow, which if he sees a shadow, it's supposedly determined whether there's another 6 weeks of winter or we're going to have an early spring, and the TV crew that's with him gets snowed in, and Murray wakes up the next morning, and he begins to live the day, and he lives the same day over and over and over and over and over and over and over again. It's rather humorous. I mean, he learns to play the piano. He's just living. He's in this warp, time warp, and he can't get out of it. He's stuck on the same day. Every morning he wakes up, and the clock is the same time, and it flashes the same day. Now, we could laugh about that. We can say, well, you know, that's really crazy, Pastor. I mean, I don't believe in that superstitious, and I don't believe in it either. But one thing I do believe in is that we can get up at the same time every morning. We can get ready the same way. We can eat breakfast, the same thing for breakfast. We can drive to work the same way every day. We can listen to the same radio station. We can get to work and punch in at the same time. We can do the same thing on our job. We can take a break every day at 9:30 to 9:45. We sit with the same people. We go to lunch at the same time. We eat out of the same lunchbox. We drink out of the same thermos bottle, and we eat the same bologna sandwich 365 days a year. If we worked every day of the year, 180 days, give or take. Every day we get off work at the same time. We arrive home at the same time. We do the same thing before dinner and after dinner. If you have a TV in your home, you watch the same thing before you go to bed. You watch the same newscast. You go to bed at the same time so you can get up the next day and do the exact same thing tomorrow. Now, don't get me wrong. I think it's important that we get up every day on a routine and that you brush your teeth every morning. I think that's an important thing. I think it's important that you take a shower occasionally, at least. I think that's important. And I think there are some things that is important that we do because we need to just do them. We need to pray. We need to read our Bibles. We need to have a routine. But sometimes, where do we allow God time in our lives every day to do a new thing if God wants to do a new thing in our life? You see, we can get caught up in Groundhog Day, and we can use the same routine as an excuse to not allow God to move in our life. We can do the same thing in a church service. We can have a schedule. We can set that schedule, and we can basically dictate within that schedule when God can move and when God can't move. We can do that. We can do it in church. We can do it in our life. We like to criticize about it at church. We're here at church. You're here an hour on Wednesday nights, and you're here a couple hours on Sunday. So out of how many total hours are there in a week? 24 hours in a day, 7. So 168 hours, you hear 3 hours out of 168. Put that in perspective. If God doesn't move in those 3 hours, you're mad at leadership, you're mad at the pastor. What are you doing the other 165? I'm just saying. I want to have good church. I want to have a move of God when we're at church. I want to be able to enjoy the presence of God with my brothers and sisters. But so don't get me wrong. There are certain things that we have to do. But where do you create time for God to do a new thing? I think sometimes we just need to get out of our routine. Sometimes we just need to drive home a different way. Sometimes we just need to go to a different restaurant. Sometimes we need to sit at a different lunch table. Sometimes we need to talk to different people at work. Or do you just wait for someone else to declare whether or not you can see your shadow? Or whether or not you will be victorious in your life? See, as we close out this series, I just want to share a couple more scriptures with you. We talked about ghosts and gorillas, gremlins, goblins, drenches, goons, and groundhogs. All of these things that we have to overcome for godly, victorious living. We look in Luke chapter 9, verse 62, and Jesus said, anyone who begins to plow a field but keeps looking back is of no use for the kingdom of God. That's a pretty rough scripture to swallow at times, isn't it? I think we all at times would have to say that we look over our shoulders. Have you ever tried mowing your lawn looking backwards? That's the closest I can come. I've never plowed a field. I've watched the farmers around us plow the fields. Now they're picking all the corn. After they're done with the corn, they go in and they chop all the stalks off and bale them all up, and then they come in and plow. And boy, you look down those rows, and I mean, those rows are hundreds, if I dare say thousands of feet. I know from my house to the interstate is over 1 mile. So those rows are 1 mile plus long. And I mean, you look down them, and it's like, how in the world do they drive across the field so straight? I know one thing, Brother Tim, they're not looking over their shoulder. They'd be in my backyard because they'd have no idea where they're going. But so many times that's how we live our lives. We are constantly looking over our shoulders. But Jesus is telling us to move forward, to press on, push forward. I like how the Amplified in Isaiah 43:25 says, even I am he who blots out and cancels your transgressions. What does he say? He says, for my own sake. This is God saying this. For my own sake, I'm going to take all of the stupid things that you do, and I'm going to blot them out. And I will not remember your sins. So here we're stuck sometimes in this Groundhog Day routine, stuck with the ghosts and the gorillas and the gremlins and the goblins and the Grinches and the goons in this non-ending revolving cycle. And Jesus is saying, even I am he who I blot out and cancel your transgressions for my own sake. I don't want to remember your sins. So what you did yesterday, you asked forgiveness for, Brother Dan, God doesn't want to remember that junk. Isn't that awesome? He says, I don't want to. The Message interpretation reads, yes, I am the one who takes care of your sins. That's what I do. I don't keep a list of your sins. You see, how can God bring up your sinful past if he doesn't even remember them or keep a list of them? Yet we use our flubs from the past to stop us from moving into our future, don't we? Our past is our biggest enemy. How does one know sometimes who's speaking that, you know, we pray and we have this voice in our head. God doesn't bring up your past. You want to know what the voice of God sounds like? He's going to be encouraging you forward. The enemy is going to be the ones, well, what about yesterday? Break free from that Groundhog Day. Let's stand. Philippians 3, verses 13 through 15. Forgetting those things which were behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. This is Paul talking to the church of Philippi. Paul understood exactly what you're going through right tonight. Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. He says, I press. I push forward with pressure. I press forward toward the goal. What's the goal? For the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. He says, if I live here, it's Christ. If I die, It's Christ. I want to push forward with everything that's within me. I'm not going to quit. He called himself, compared himself. He says, I am chief among all sinners. It's pretty humbling to hear Apostle Paul say, hey, you think you messed up? Wait a minute here. So when in doubt, get off the couch. If you don't, you'll never fully experience the victories or the success that God has in mind for you. Every one of us here tonight, God has an absolutely mind-boggling future plan for our lives. I talk about this a lot. Well, I talk about it a lot because very few of us are living up to what God wants for us in our lives. If we could just get a glimpse, if we could just get a glimpse, want to live a principle blessed life? Well, it's actually pretty simple. Three words. Read and apply. Want to get rid of that 800-pound gorilla in your life? Yeah, you can do that tonight. Want to get rid of the goons, the gremlins, the goblins, the ghosts? Tired of the same old routine day after day after day? I just want to invite you at the end of this series, the end of this service, as our worship team, Sister Brittany, begins to sing, to just come down to this altar and say, okay, Lord, I don't want to look back anymore. I want to push forward. I want to press. I want to be like Paul. I want to press forward into what you've called me into. God bless you.
I carry burdens deep. Grace is reaching for me. On the cross, you have won. It is finished. It is done. Every stronghold. See the heavens open. Jesus is alive.
Homework between now and Sunday is go home in the next 2 days when you get up, alter your routine. Change your routine, switch it around some way that just allows God a little bit more access into your schedule. Can we do that? Can we do that? It's just very simple. It's very simple. God bless you. Thank you so very much. Thank you, Sister Brittany. Sarah and Jamin, very beautiful tonight, very powerful. God bless you. Remember Friday night, our prayer meeting, and homegoing service for Sister Arlene Manley on Saturday. God bless you.